Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, our assignment from yesterday. None are so hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. Regularly, we hear from people encountering the first of the Buddha's noble truths, but are not suffering. The person making that statement is one of the hopelessly enslaved, looking to condition mind to know what is so. How can we know that person is enslaved by conditioned mind? When we're present, we realize there's a good chance there's more to what's being said than would be addressed by a quick not me. Falsely believing we're free, that we're not being held captive by the illusion of a self that is separate from life, we don't even question our state. We assume we're doing our own thinking and making our own decisions because the voices in conditioned mind tell us we are. Today, each time you hear the conversation in your head, tune in until you hear what's being said, and then ask the voice, how do you know that? Record and listen.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That one set me off so much yesterday that I had to write a newsletter article on that very subject.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa. Hello.
Hey, hi. How are you? So what I looked at yesterday with that quote was the illusion that is free time. And the whole concept that there's free time and then there's not free time. And thinking about when I have time that isn't, I guess, work time, or when someone else might be involved, but then that's considered free time. And watching how
time
there's
for
a lot of
me.
Right.
Right.
And what
time
I,
for
what
me.
Yes, and me is definitely conditioning. So what I've been mm-hmm. watching is how conditioning, like the story is, I'm free. I have no schedule. I have nothing to do. I'm you know. But really, what's happening is conditioning has definitely got a schedule, and conditioning has lots that it's gonna do, and someone's always making decisions about what's going on during my day. And when I think I'm free, I'm actually often doing something that conditioning is leading me toward and not necessarily, you know, so what I was watching was you know, at the end of the day, if I look back and go, but I said I was going to, I don't know, you name it, like do the uh-huh. thing that I wanted to do or take care of myself or clean out that closet that's been waiting for me, you know, and then, you know, so it's like I've just been looking at how there's this illusion of, like, there is no free time. There is no time that, like, time is just, is an illusion as well. Like, it's just, there's just stuff happening and me doing stuff, and it doesn't belong in one category or another. Like, that's all so false. I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah. Oh, you're making total sense, yes, and it's so important. It is exactly what that quote was talking about. That the first illusion is that me is me.
Right.
That
right.
what is setting that whole thing up is me. And we see as you lay it out that it's not authentic, the authentic being. It's ego. And ego's whole deal is controlling a human being, right? So mm-hmm. that the proof of that is you get to the end of the day and there's been nothing about it that took care of me, that took care right. of authenticity, but everything that took care of ego because it was calling the shots all the way through the day.
Yes.
Right? So it says, this is for me, this is free time, I can do whatever I want, and then we're meant to go unconscious and just be led around by ego all day, life force being sucked out. Then at the end of the day, you know, kind of one, two, three, now open your eyes, and we go, what happened to that day? I was going to do X, Y, Z, and I didn't do any of it. And then there's the disappointment, and yeah, it's a perfect description.
Yeah, and what I've seen is, like, when I'm working, I'm in a period right now where I don't have work demands like I would normally have. So in the periods when I'm working, at the end of the day, I'm usually I get very angry about, like, I haven't had any me time today. But what I'm seeing is, like, I love my job. I love what I do. So actually, who's the person or the thing, whatever it is, that's angry is conditioning's angry, because I actually have a job where I'm really engaged, right? So at the end of the day, it's a lie that I haven't, except for at the end of the day, then I might go unconscious as opposed to doing things that really take care of me. And that is true. But who's to blame for that? You know, if I look around, it's because I've chosen to go off with conditioning.
That's right. Well, and the really, to me, the significant piece of that one is, so you've had a day where you've been really engaged, right? Mm-hmm. And so we can guess that there's a fair amount of presence in that. So mm-hmm. how is ego going to suck that energy out?
Yeah.
Get upset that there hasn't been any time, right? And then, again, it can slide in the disappointment, the failure to notice that, but I had a fabulous day, and I love my job, and I love every, you know, that's not in the conversation. And then the end of the day, there's the disappointment.
Right. Yeah. And how ridiculous to celebrate, like, a day of presence by going unconscious. Like, it's just, you know what I mean?
That's
only
right.
Conditioning. It's just nuts.
Well, it is nuts once we catch on to it. But it is how it does it to people, right? That's the thing. I celebrate my life by sitting down in front of a TV with some food that I shouldn't be eating, and watch 5 or 6 hours of television. That's the
right.
My celebration is unconsciousness. Yeah, it's such a deep scam, and it's such a big one to catch on to.
Yeah.
That's why, Lisa, for me, it's that transition from work to home is a recording about all the best things that happened today, all the things I love. You know, those moments of kindness, the places where I felt most appreciative of what I do and the people that I serve, and, you know, make that recording, and the celebration will be very different.
Yes, I like that idea. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I just love that, Sherry, that constant awareness that we get to it, that the karma is asserting the exact opposite of what it is that life is, but we don't see it because we're looking at it from its vantage point. So free will or free time is what I get to do, what's for me. And when I don't have that there's something wrong with that. And yet, when we're in that life place, as Lisa was talking about, fully engaged and present to what we're doing, there is no concept of time for me or what I want to do, because there's such a submission to thy will be done.
Yes. And a realization that this is what I want to do.
Right. And that when we're completely identified from the ego perspective, if all is going well, then it's my time and my will, and we're unconscious. And when we're completely engaged with life, there is no concept of that, because that thing is not operating. And to know the difference between those two places is so key, as we were talking about yesterday. Because one is from a place of unconsciousness, which leads to further enslavement, whereas the other is from a true place of freedom that's liberating.
Yeah. Well, it's right there on that cutting edge, isn't it?
It truly is. Truly is.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
This is Laura.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing?
Well, I was seeing that conditioning was saying that I definitely could not put myself in the queue this morning because I'm feeling a little identified.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we don't want to reveal that, do we? Good job
no,
on getting
no,
in the
no.
queue.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was because the content is that I have a little cold, and that's a health opportunity for me that happens pretty often. And so I've just been kind of watching everything that conditioning does with that, including kind of going back to the conversation that you were just having about, oh, you feel so terrible. What you should do is like watch a bunch of movies. Like that's what would really take care of you right now. And, or, you know, that kind of thing. But also just, I've really been seeing how it's like, yeah, I mean, just that it's not okay and that it's really not okay for me not to be at work and that it's like I just have that. I was seeing how like the stories have changed about it, you know, like depending on sort of what my role is at work or whatever. Like before it was like, oh, you don't have enough vacation time, you can't be sick. And now it's like, you're responsible for all these things, you can't be out, you've got to get stuff done, you know, and but it all sort of adds up to any, you know, you have to feel really anxious and this is not okay right now.
Right. Oh, that is so good to see, isn't it? Whatever the fluff, it comes down to there's something wrong and you need to be anxious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That's the story may change, but the point of the story is the same. It's kind of like those movies, right? 99% of them are the exact same movie, just different actors, right? Playing the pretty much the same role. Right, because they're most of them are ego karma stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we see that's the you know, when we realize all these stories point to there's something wrong, you need to be anxious. There's something wrong,
mm-hmm.
you need to be upset. There's something wrong, it's your fault. You need to feel bad. That's what they all have in common. Yeah. And so this is an opportunity to take care of the human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why,
yeah,
Laura, the Huber Cure, that's the Huber Cure. In the Huber Cure, we don't do anything except focus on good energy for the body. That's it. Right? To support the body, to support the immune system, to the greatest amount that we can. Because even reading something, even watching something is going to take away from the body's ability to focus on healing. It's
mm-hmm.
going to use up energy that the body could be using to heal.
Yeah, and part of my suffering process is around the Huber Cure. Unsurprisingly, conditioning has turned that into suffering.
Oh, of course. Of course it has. That's not surprising. Of course it
yeah.
has. It hates it because when somebody is sick, that's a prime opportunity to kick the person when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see that everywhere. When a person, people believe that system is on my side, it's trying to take care of, oh, watch some movies. Oh, isn't that taking care of you? Right. And so, you know, when bad things happen to me, it's on my side. And then something bad happens and we watch it just pull out those hobnail boots and start stomping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
what's the problem with the Huber Cure?
Well, one issue is that I also have chronic joint pain. And so lying for long periods of time can be pretty uncomfortable. So then it starts complaining about that, and you can't, you know, which I'm seeing does not actually have anything to do with watching movies. That does not actually help that issue.
Right, exactly, because you can still turn over, right, and change your position in bed.
But I think it's more that I think conditioning has turned the Huber cure into you have to lie in bed and do nothing and listen to me. That's what the Huber cure is.
Oh, right.
And, right. You know, and that's misery. And, you know.
That's why we don't listen to those voices. That's exactly, because
yes.
It would be misery. But if you're listening to nothing but acceptance and compassion and comfort, then mm-hmm. that's a very, very different experience. And that's why ego actually hates it, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you were to do that, then you would simply be meditating, and there's no reason you can't be. You would be meditating for extended periods of time. And if yeah. what you're doing in that period of time is, I choose unconditional love. I choose unconditional yeah. love. Or, yes, please, thank you, I love you. And you stay with that, and you're just filling the body with healing energy, giving everything to the system, it'll be a transformative experience.
Yeah, because I think conditioning has sort of, and that is my experience when I mean, even when I look at yesterday, the time, you know, the times when I was doing the Huber cure, I was feeling pretty good, you know.
Yes, yes.
But it's, but I think it's like it turns it into content versus process.
Absolutely.
Huber cure means you're lying in bed versus.
But it does with
Huber cure
everything.
Means you're focusing, yeah.
It does yeah. with everything. That's why we're learning to recognize it for what it is and take its power away from it, because it's mm-hmm. constantly turning everything in life against you.
Yep.
Turning against life is turning everything in life against you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself, huh?
All right, thank you.
Have some blissful meditations. Make some great recordings.
Sounds
Have some
good.
Fabulous insights and give all the energy to that body to heal.
All right,
thank you.
Thank
you, Laura.
Thanks, Laura. Feel well. So cruel in the ways it controls us.
Oh,
anything that it that
oh,
would
it's
take
hideous.
Care of us is deemed to be something that thwarts. It's not what I want to do, so it doesn't take care
right.
of me. Yeah.
Right.
And when we're identified with that, that's the me that we believe we are. And sure, it doesn't take care of me, though. And we never get to find
right.
out it takes care of us.
Yeah. That, again, the great obsession with, if we can't tell the difference between ego and authenticity, we are doomed.
Yeah.
We are doomed to suffer. If people made one pursuit, their pursuit, that should be it.
Yeah.
What is identification with ego and what is being present? Just
yeah.
that, there, one focus.
Yeah. Well, here's our
All
next
right.
caller, Sherry.
Okay.
You're now live on the air. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, Sherry and Ishwini. This is Mira in Seattle.
Hello there.
Hi. Well, what I saw with the assignment yesterday had to do with being helpful. And,
uh-huh.
yeah, and how, so just a little bit of content. I came off of a weekend that was largely unconscious. And came back into presence yesterday. It was a really wonderful place to find myself moving back to again. But then there came a request to help with something, and I volunteered to do that. A couple of hours later, I was told that somebody else was going to be doing that, and so I wasn't needed. And it just brought up all sorts of stuff for me about how I knew what helpful was, how I could contribute more than the person who was going to be providing this this service. And what I found was how easy, so using the questioning of this really helped me to see. Really helped me to see the conversation that was going on, because I was seeing all the different sides of it. And what I came to was a place of feeling chastened. Like, okay, you've seen some karma, but there wasn't any joy behind it. And that's when I knew that there was something, I was still in the conversation. I feel like I'm still in it to some extent. But,
but Mira,
yeah.
Can you be incredibly excited about the subtlety of the seeing?
Yes. Well, that was what, so there was the, I could see conditioned mind trying to make sense of this. And also that there's a difference between dropping the conversation and the, dropping the conversation because of. So like that, how that still kept me in it. And it feels really subtle. I want it to feel big.
You want it to feel big?
I want it to feel big so I can really experience it. But that's not where I'm working. I'm not working with a big thing. I'm working with something that is really, really very sneaky and very cruel.
Yes, yes. And, yes, so, right. So you're down there kind of in these deep places making little microscopic movements,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, instead of the, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
One of those giant, it all falls in, and you're just transported to ecstasy by
right.
the magnitude of it. This
right.
is not it. But the subtlety of it is truly powerful. So,
yeah.
And seeing how the voices try to talk you into, well, this isn't that special because, and what's, you know, what is that innate of? Well, getting
right.
you to stop looking at this, at these subtleties. So,
right.
yeah. So sometimes, you know, we don't get the fanfare. And truly, when you stop and look at it the way you are now, only ego wants that fanfare. You know, we would much rather be able to see these subtle places than have the fireworks of great insight and awareness.
Right, right. I also had the experience yesterday of, so just in thinking about helpfulness, of just showing up for a friend with no agenda, and how helpful that was to both of us. It seems like it's related in some way. But.
Well, it's what I hear in that is a gratitude for a growing sense of being guided by life, and a gratitude for whatever it is that you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, again, is a subtle place to be moving through life. And I can promise you that the fireworks are not over. Okay, there's
yes.
going to be plenty more of those. But being in this subtle place, you know, even being able to see that it was a weekend of unconsciousness,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's so important to be able to see, because that's that growing sense of when I'm identified with ego and when I'm not. And ego really doesn't want people to be able to see that difference.
Right. Right. Because then it gets to have me all to itself all the time.
All the time. And it'll tell you, well, yeah, no, you're paying attention. No,
right.
no, you're here. You're here. But you're saying, no,
yeah.
I wasn't.
Right.
I wasn't. Now I am, and I can see that difference. Yay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, thank
Fun
you.
Fun time.
Yeah. It was actually really helpful to hear you talking earlier about filling the body with healing wisdom, and also about focusing on the best things that happened
mm-hmm.
as part of that, because really this is so small.
mm. Well, yeah, and catching on to that relentless conversation.
Yeah.
That again, it's not yelling obscenities at you. It's just this relentless conversation, low level, about what's wrong.
Right.
About what's not working. How this isn't meeting the standard. By the way, you're not meeting the standard. How this is, and catching on to that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now, once we catch on to that, you know, you start having this feeling of where you are when you catch on to that. At first, it's just a perspective. But as we get more accustomed to being in that perspective, we realize the expansiveness of that perspective. That, in time, no hurries.
Okay. All right. Well, that is very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. And the deeper we go, the more exciting it becomes. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, thank you, Sherry. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Mira. Oh, that was such a fun conversation. Sherry, I am going to try to see if I could get one more caller live.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
Hi. Wow. All of these conversations have been so helpful. What I was seeing, it was great. I didn't expect to see as much as I did from this exercise. And it really did take me to the place of this is everything. Being able to see to hear the conversation, to recognize it for what it is, and let it go. I mean, I've known it's everything, but I got to experience that in new ways in my response to it, which was really helpful, really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, the response that we were asked to, you know, how do you know that's true, didn't seem to apply in a lot of the conversation that was going on in the mind. And so I got to just experiment with what else then? How else do I question that? And because for the content I'm dealing with right now, which was how to care for my mom in a new stage of life, is looking, you know, constantly going over the past, you know, rehashing what's already happened and imagining what's possible for the future, which takes up all the energy when that's going on. So
yeah.
It's been practicing.
Well, and how do you know that's true? It's really looking at how do you know this is helpful?
Exactly.
Right?
Because
it's presenting all this information to you as if it's valid.
Right.
And how can it justify that? What is its argument for doing this? Out of all of the things that could be focused on, why this?
Yeah, but you know, Sherry, as you say that, what I noticed is that I needed to be careful. Well, careful isn't quite the right word. That if I ask in a certain way, it led to engaging to a conversation.
That's right.
With, and so I was mainly just, you know, that's not helpful. That's not taking me where, you know, to anything that will assist in any way. And I would turn my attention. And what I practiced with was gratitude of all that I was grateful for in the moment, or just love, unconditional love. And
yeah.
Those two things.
So you had already realized that there is no, how do you know this is true? I mean, you've gotten to the point where you know it's not true. So it's just a drop it and come back. Right?
Yeah.
Drop it,
yeah.
And as you say, come to gratitude, come to unconditional love, come to the present, because you realize all it's doing is trying to drag you into the past, drag you into the future. Okay, those are ego worlds. I don't want to go there. There is no truth in any of that, which is wonderful to see, isn't it?
It is, and at the same time, there were definitely moments, times that I couldn't get there, and I would just completely fall into a suffering place about the content of what's going on. And I have to say the gift in that I've seen is I'm human. I'm human. And that lesson, I don't know, it may sound really odd, but just appreciating that and embracing that and doing the best I can to practice.
Yes. Yes. And you know, Jan, the place where the question could be helpful under those circumstances is how do you know there's something wrong?
Oh.
So right, what conditioning is trying to present this as is something wrong. There's something wrong here. Right? This is a problem. This is not, and how do we know that? And the reason that I suggest it is it could flip you out of that place where it can get you, because the content is such that there are these deep, unexplored beliefs, and beliefs even is too strong a word because you don't really believe it, but at a deep karmic level, there is that conviction, that feeling, whatever it is, that there's something wrong, that this is not a perfect situation.
Yeah.
How do we know that? How do we know that? How do we know? We don't, of course, but we still ask the question. How do we know that this isn't in the big picture of your mother's movement toward awakening? How do we know that each second of what's happening isn't absolutely perfect for her? In the big picture of your moving toward awakening, how do we know that each second of what's happening isn't absolutely perfect for where you're headed, what you need in order to get to awakening?
Thank you for that. That is so helpful. That is so helpful. Because I know from experience. That I know we're at time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Barry. And
you are welcome. You are welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Jan. I just love that, Sherry, that place of even this is something that...
Even this.
Yes. It's the it's that final place of letting go, right? No matter what it is, including a place of suffering. Including having to have a process of transformation there's nothing wrong with it.
That's exactly right, and it sounds terrible to juxtapose this, but that thing that we talk about, we get hit alongside the head with the sideboard we need, and we just don't know the level of suffering that we need to encounter in order to let go the next level of where ego has been holding us.
Yeah.
We assume that there's something wrong if we're struggling so. No, this is just the struggle that's required to get out of this particular bondage.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right, our assignment for the day. If a pickpocket meets a holy man, he will only see his pockets. What we see is what we are. the world we live in is as it is because of how we are, not because of how it is. And of course, how we are is the result of the narrative we're listening to day and night in conditioned mind. The pickpocket isn't interested in anything other than what he might get from the holy man's pockets. We, when identified with ego, are only interested in what we can get to satisfy ego's insatiable desires. Today, recall times when you've been disidentified enough from ego's focus on getting for me to feel the satisfaction of being. Record and listen.
The satisfaction of being.
Yeah.
Lordy, lordy. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ashwini. Thanks to everybody. Go happy.
Tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.